Well, we thank the Lord for being able to be here with y'all. We appreciate you much. And we appreciate prayer. I'd like to start off by looking into the life of Moses a little bit here in the book of Acts, the 7th chapter and the 17th verse. This is a message that Stephen gave, but he gives some things about Moses that I'd like for us to look at. In the 17th verse of Acts 7, he says, "But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose which knew not Joseph. The same dealt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end that they might not live. In which time Moses was born, and was exceeding fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son." Now I want to clarify just something here. The Septuagint, I refer to the Septuagint a lot. I like it. I know Brother Leslie used it a lot. But a lot of times when you look at in the New Testament, when the apostles are quoting the Old Testament, and you go back and look at what the King James says, they don't match. A lot of times it's a little different. But when you look it up in the Septuagint, that's the way it reads. So I like the Septuagint a lot. But the Septuagint said that Pharaoh's daughter gave Moses to the mother to nurse it until it was a small child. Then she brought it in to Pharaoh's daughter, Pharaoh's wife. So she had Moses for a short time there. Now, 3 months is when she went and put him in the water. That's how old he was. They were trying to hide him up till that time. It says here that he was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. Yes. Another thing I want to add here, that I gleaned this from Josephus. It's not in the Bible, but Josephus says that Moses was actually a general in Pharaoh's army. So he was very, it seemed like he was very successful. He was, Egypt has always been, they've always been a foe to reckon with. When you read Bible history, they've always seemed like been a strong people back in these times. He says here, "And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian." And verse 25 says, "For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, ye are brethren, why do you wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. Yes. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. He turned his face away. Then said the Lord to him, Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and am come down to deliver them, and now come, I will send thee into Egypt. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. I want to look at Hebrews, the 11th chapter, the 25th verse. Hebrews 11:25, in verse 24, it says, By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, yes. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now somewhere along the way, the Lord was somehow I don't know how Moses got a hold, but he realized he was an Israelite. He realized that was his people, and somewhere along the point, he made a decision. He made a choice. Yes. And when you choose the contrast, here's his people were under the taskmasters. They were in bondage. Their lives were made bitter. Their cry went up to God, that God heard their cry. And Moses had everything that the world had to offer at that time. He had position. He had inheritance. He had power. He had he could have been next in line to, as a general, he could have been next in line to be the head ruler. But somewhere, and I don't know all the dealings of God, the scripture talked about, he said it went out to see his brethren. He went out to visit him. He was 40 years old at the time. He went out to visit him, but there was something that had already been working. And I don't know if what he did to the Egyptians solidified him, but he... There in Acts it mentions, it said, he supposed the brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. Now, he flees and he goes. He's in the backside of the desert, but he's close to the mountain of God. And the Lord appears to him and comes to him. Now I want to contrast when the Lord when he came to him, Moses said, in speaking with him, he said, Moses had excuses. Now he's 80 years old. There's a difference between the time that he's 40, when he supposes that that his people would know how that God is going to deliver them by his hand. Now he's 80, and he says, I can't do it. I can't do it. Who am I to do it? And I believe the Lord brought him to that place. I believe the Lord was in. I believe the Lord was in that place of him saying, I can't. It was a place of humility. It was a place where he saw himself. It was a place. I want to read you something else out of the Septuagint. And it doesn't read this way quite in the King James, but it says, Exodus 4 and 10, it says, And Moses said to the Lord, I pray, Lord, I have not been sufficient in former times. This is what the Septuagint says. Yes. Lord, I haven't been sufficient in former times. In other words, I've been a failure. Yes. I've made mistakes. I've made failures. And the first thing he said, who am I that... And he goes, he says here, I have not been sufficient in former times, neither from the time that thou hast begun to speak to thy servant. In other words, I haven't been sufficient in former times, and I'm not sufficient now. And the Lord said to Moses... He says, neither from the time thou hast been, he said, I am weak in speech and slow tongue. I don't know what that means. Stephen's message said that he was mighty in word and deed. But the difference was, I believe Moses was more ready now than he was before when he was 40. His self-life had been thwarted. His self had been put down. And Moses, he goes on here, it says, And Moses said, I pray thee, Lord, appoint another able person whom thou shalt send. And the Lord was getting a little bit upset with him. You know, it's interesting to me that the Scripture doesn't say that the Lord, Moses ever said, okay, I'll go. He goes back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and I don't know what time lapsed when he said, but he told him, he said, I need to go to Egypt to see if my brethren are still alive. But it was like there was nothing there that he told. The Lord said, okay, I'll go. But I want us to look now at the difference of Moses when he was 40 and now when he's 80. Number one, his self... He didn't feel like he could do it. You know, that's very important for us. And that's really what my message is about tonight. The second time God instructed him. The Lord took time to instruct Moses what he wanted him to do, what he wanted him to say. He told him, he said, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. He's not going to let him go easy. The Lord told him everything. He equipped Moses. So the self-life is put down. God has paid him a visit and instructed him. And God has equipped him to go. And God is sending him. The first time, we don't get any of that. But I've been thinking about how the Lord works that way in our lives. Yes. Not only the church, He works that way with the church, but He works that way with humanity also. I want to read a little quote that I wrote in the front of my Bible from Hannah Smith. You remember that name? She wrote The Christian Secret of a Happy Life. She said, "In truth, if we only knew it, our chief fitness is in our utter helplessness. His strength is made perfect in our weakness." In truth, if we only knew it, our chief fitness is in our own utter helplessness. Andrew Murray, a quote from him, said, "And He said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God." Luke 18:27. He says, "The text contains two thoughts. That in religion, in the question of salvation and following Christ by holy life, it is impossible for men to do it. And then alongside that is the thought, what is impossible with man is possible with God." The two thoughts mark the two great lessons that man has to learn in the religious life. It often takes a long time to learn the first lesson. You know, there's a difference between knowing something in our head and the Lord writing it in our hearts through experience and the Holy Spirit. In our failures, the devil likes to come in and crush us down. He likes to make us feel like this is it. And I believe Moses was probably gave up on that thought of him having any kind of help in delivering the children of Israel until the Lord visited him. But the Lord works, I believe He worked in Moses' life to bring him to that point of "I can." The Lord doesn't want to stay there. He doesn't want us to stay in that place of "I can't." But we can through Him. Yes. You know, this scripture, He mentions this verse. This is when Jesus told the young man to go sell all that he has, give to the poor, and come follow me. How easy of that would have been to do. You know, the commandments, the things that God has given to us to do, how to live, is impossible within our own strength and ability. I can't forgive within myself. I can't go the second mile just with my human willpower and my human strength and my human makeup. We need a power beyond what we have. But God wants us to get. And I believe he'll teach us in life. I believe He'll show us that without me, you can do nothing. Yes.
That's true. That's
true. He also mentioned Andrew Murray. He said, there's so much Christian work going on. People going here, people going there, so much. And he said, I wonder how much is done in the spirit of the flesh. Yes. How much of it is done in our own human thinking, in our own human abilities, in our own humanity. And he said, how much is there in really waiting upon God and waiting for the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, amen.
To speak to us, to guide us into direction. And we need that. We need that very much today.
Yes.
2 Corinthians 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. I'm sorry, the first chapter, 2 Corinthians 1. In verse 8, he says, "For we would not, brethren..." Let's read verse 7. It says, "And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead." The Lord was working here, and Paul had a revelation of, maybe afterwards, I don't know, but he had a revelation of why the Lord permitted that to happen in their life, and he said it was the sentence of death. In other words, it was a place of impossibility. It was beyond human strength. It was beyond human capabilities, beyond human abilities. Have you ever been there?
Yes.
Have you ever fought a spiritual battle over and over and over and failed and failed? And failed. That happens.
Yes.
But it's to bring us to the point that we come to God and say, "Lord, I'm tired. I can't do it." You know, the Lord lets us do that. I mean, the Lord will let us expend our energy. He'll let us spin our wheels. He gives us a choice. He lets us. But it's better to humble ourselves before God and recognize we're helpless. If you don't do it, we can't make it. If we come to God that way, He'll be there. He hears that prayer. But if we just continue to struggle, and I think about people in life and I see the trouble, I see the heartache, I see the broken lives, the Lord allowed them to do it. The Lord allows us to make failures too. I believe He teaches the church. I believe He teaches humanity. But He wants people to come to the place of, "I can't do it. God, I need you. The next step is God." So many people give up hope. Even Christian people, sometimes they struggle. They struggled and they come to the conclusion that it's impossible. And they give up. I've been there at times too, in my spirit, of thinking, maybe the Lord doesn't have any more for me. But He does. He just wants us to come to that place that I can't do it.
Yes.
Lord, it's got to be you.
Amen.
There's a song that the Carver sang that we have on one of our tapes, and it mentions, it said, Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The Lord wants that lesson to be written down deep in our hearts and our lives. The second message also that Andrew Murray said, that with God, all things are possible. When we get to the end of us, God is there to help and to bless. You know, I think about the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus went to and often resorted, a place of prayer. And I think about the struggle that he had, like you and I have. But he gave him, to me, that's where the real victory was won. I appreciate the cross, and I'm not, the blood, the cross, it was all of it's important, all of it's, but the real victory came in the garden for Jesus. He prayed through. He surrendered his life to the will of God for him. And we sometimes struggle with that. You know, in the Christian life, we're going to have our Gethsemanes too. It's not, Christian life is not always joyous and blessing. And there's going to be some Gethsemanes in there for us also. But he prayed through. He gave, he surrendered himself to God. And I think I want to get another verse here in Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. Jeremiah 29, the children of Israel taken captive by the Babylonians. They didn't like it. We wouldn't have liked it if we were there either. But Jeremiah wrote them a letter. They were trying to fight against the Babylonians. They were trying to plan and rise up against them. And Jeremiah wrote them letters to Babylon. In verse 4, he says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives.
Yes.
And pray unto the Lord for it. You know, that's just not in Jesus teaching in the New Testament, pray for your enemies. Pray for the ones that took you away from your home. You know, sometimes it's hard for us to see the will of God. It's hard for us to recognize, and our flesh sometimes draw back, and we try to fight. We try to, just like Peter, you know, Peter couldn't wrap his mind around Christ giving his life. And he tried to fight against it. He drew the sword. But sometimes we do the same thing when we don't really understand the will of God, what the Lord is doing and what he's trying. And many times we don't.
Yes.
But you know, the Lord allows things to touch our lives, and if we sometimes we fight against it, we try to work against it, we try to figure out things against it. That's our flesh. Our flesh doesn't like to suffer. Our flesh doesn't like hardship and difficulties. We like comfort. We like when everything goes well. But he said, build houses there. Settle down and rest. Seek the peace of the people that I've called you to carry away. Calls you to be carried away. Seek their peace. It said, in the peace, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. I believe that was probably very difficult for them to swallow when they got that letter. But the Lord wanted them to be increased. You know, when we surrender ourselves to God, when we surrender situations to Him, we increase in spiritual growth in our spirit. It causes us to be able to increase. But as long as we resist against what God is trying to work and what He's trying to do, we don't gain any ground spiritually. I had I wanted to share a dream that I had years ago when we lived at Guthrie. I had a dream. In my dream, I was going to a motel. I just wanted to stay night. And it was very beautiful. They had red carpet up the steps. Not like the motels that I'm used to. Red carpet up the steps, and just everything looked beautiful and nice. And I walked in, and I went to where my room was supposed to be. This may seem like a strange dream, and it kind of is some ways, but the room door was like it was an elevator door. It came out from the side and shut that way. It wasn't a regular door. It was like electronic elevator door. But I went in, and that door closed behind me, and I knew something was wrong. I was in that room for a whole year, captive. I couldn't go out of the room. They had a conveyor belt that went through the back that they fed my food came on. And the room, you couldn't really see it, but it was very, once you got in there, it was very, very narrow and a little bit deep, but very narrow. But the people there were trying to deprogram my mind and my thoughts. It was solitary confinement. I couldn't see. There was no window. I couldn't see any green, any life, any flowers. I had no human contact for a year. At the end of the year, they brought me out to the... It was kind of like a veranda place, and there were people there. But it was like they were all zombies in their minds. It was like I would talk to them. I say, we've got to get out of here. These people are hurting us. And they would agree. But 5 minutes later, it was like I'd never spoken to them. And so the gate, they had a gate out front where trucks and stuff came in, and I timed the gate. I made a run for the gate. And I got out of the gate. But they had fences. They had barbed wire. They had shrubs. And I thought I was just about free, and at the very end, I was totally exhausted. I fell off this high fence. I climbed this fence. My flesh was all cut up. And I fell down. And they had a vehicle right there to pick me up, to take me back. Another year of solitary confinement that I went through. After that year, they let me out again. This was all in my dream. They let me out again. And I kept thinking, we've got to get out of here. We got these people are hurting us. And the gate opened again, and I got everybody running. I said, get out of here. Run, run, run. Everybody started running for the gate. All of them started their cars up and their vehicles, and they were pouring out after the people. The people were flooding out through the gate. And I stopped and I said, I'm going to go back and I'm going to burn this place to the ground. And so I grabbed some fuel. I went room. I threw it on the curtains. I threw it on the carpet. I threw it everywhere I could get it. I struck a match to it and it started burning. I went to the next room. I lit it on fire. Another room. And then I ended up coming back to the first room. And there was no fire going. It had just barely blackened the curtain where I had lit it and the fuel and the carpet the same way. It wouldn't burn. And in my dream, I fell down, weeping, because all of my efforts had failed. And as I wept on the ground, I saw out of the corner of my eye a movement. And I got up and went through the door to see what it was. And it was two officers, like in a Navy uniform. They were white officers. And I knew that they were there for me. I knew they came. I knew in the depth of my spirit that they were there to set me free and to give me freedom. And I just fell on them. Tears and all. And when I woke from my dream, the scripture came to my mind. It says, these are my two witnesses, the Word and the Spirit. When we get to the end of ourselves, the Lord will be there. The Lord, the Word, and the Spirit, the Lord will help us. The things that seem so impossible to us, they're possible with God. Amen. And He can do it through us. He can do it through us. It's not us. It's Him in us. So I want to encourage us tonight. Sometimes we get to the places of, I believe the Lord allows us to fail at times. To help us to sense our need and to feel our need of God. Someone wrote a book, someone wrote in the front of the book that they gave me years ago when I was a young Christian, they said, they just put in the front of the book. They gave me a book and they said, a fault that humbleth is better than a virtue that exalteth.
Yes, amen.
You know, the Lord can work through our weaknesses. Yes. I believe He does want to work through our weaknesses.
Amen.
We have the sentence of death in us also. It said that we should not trust in ourselves.
True.
Can we trust in ourselves?
No.
We can. We do sometimes. We struggle. We fight our battles. You know, our battles sometimes we just work so hard. It's us. I'm going to conquer this thing. It's really through surrender to God.
Amen.
Is where the victory will come. David said, the battle is not mine.
Yes, amen.
It's the Lord's.
Amen.
Sometimes it's easy for us to forget that. The battle's not mine. It belongs to God.
Yes.
Lord, encourage us tonight and help us.
Yes.
The Lord will help us. He'll be there. When we're at the bottom, He'll be there. But I do believe He brings us to those places of, it's got to be God or nothing. If God doesn't do it, I'm not going. If God's not in it, I'm not in it. The Lord wants us to feel that in our heart. He wants us to know that. Not to stop with, I can't. But the Lord, it was so beautiful to me. I saw that the Lord equipped, He instructed Moses. You know, when we get to that place of surrender, the Lord will instruct us.
Yes.
As long as we're striving, as long as it's us,
yes,
it's going to be hard to get instruction. Appreciate your attention tonight. Pray for me.